Everyone up here around these parts is very upset with you, Dana, mainly because they can't imagine how you pried Drayvon Henry away from the local schools. So what was the pitch for a guy like that, especially when a player like Darrell Revis came from that same high school and was great at Pitt?
Well, there's probably a couple of factors for it. Gonna start with our philosophy really hadn't changed here over the last several years. A lot of good players in the surrounding states, and we just got something to sell. That a lot of other teams on this part of the country don't have to sell, which is the Big 12. We think it's a national conference, obviously, and exciting ball, and get to play in a bunch of the best venues across the country. So we wanted to attack some of the same places that we have and then be able to sell the Big 12. And then you had a guy by the name of Tony Gibson, who's recruited Pittsburgh for years and years and years and had a lot of success. Got in there to Aliquippa and was able to, get Drayvon Henry and Jaleel Fields, which are two of the better players in Pittsburgh for sure, which was a huge get for us down here in West Virginia.
Speaking of Henry, Dana, definitely a defensive back for you. Do you foresee him playing a little bit of offense? Maybe a two-way player?
Well, it's pretty. Yeah, maybe, but it's tough to do that. He's going to concentrate on defensive back. Now, the great thing about Drayvon, which don't need to tell many people around there what the talent level is for him, he could play a whole bunch of different stuff. We could put him at receiver. We could put him at running back. We could put him at corner. We could put him at safety. But we're going to focus with him in the backfield. Don't know if that's going to be corner. Don't know if that's going to be nickelback or safety. He can do it all. I did promise him that he'd be able to carry that football around a little bit when he's back there returning punts and returning kicks, which he's pretty special at that as well.
Well, before we get back to this year's class, I know a lot of people around here are curious about Russell Schell. How's he doing? Is he on track to be eligible in the fall? Does he have a shot to start? What's going on with him?
Doing great. He did a great job that last semester. He came in. He did a great job for us on scout team. Didn't have any issues with it whatsoever. He worked hard in the weight room. He got stronger. He got leaner. He got quicker. Came back, was in the right shape, right frame of mind, and was in a couple of the workouts with him here this past week, and just watching him, and clearly we're not doing anything with the ball yet, so I don't know what his ball skills are, or haven't watched him run over any defenders or anything yet, but just looks really quick, looks like he's in great shape, is motivated, will be able to compete for a starting job, no doubt.
West Virginia head coach Dana Holgorsen joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. Is today a stressful day still, Dana, or is it one of those things just from your position where everything, the work's done and maybe the only stress is making sure those names come across the fax machine? What's it like to be a head coach today?
I do think it's getting a little easier. There's some rules that are getting in place that allow us only to put out several different national letters of intent. You can only put out what you got available. Can't exceed 25. So I think the days of like sending out 35 in order to hopefully get back 25 are coming to an end. A lot less stressful than it's been in the past. There is anxiety. You spend so much time with these guys. You get to know the parents. You spend money. You spend time. You spend all this stuff trying to make this thing official. And until it comes across the facts, it's not official. So there is anxiety, but I do think it's getting easier.
What's the wildest story you have? I'm sure you've gone to some far off places. You comb your whole recruiting area basically to find talent. You have any wild stories of going into the back country somewhere you never thought you'd be, basically to try to find a kid and then meet some very interesting relatives? Anything like that?
Well, yeah. How much time you guys got? There's been. We signed kids out of 14 different states last year. We had them out of, I think, 11 or 12 different states this year. We got them from Florida. We've got them in California, Maryland, North Carolina. Mississippi is always interesting, the back roads of Mississippi, which I lived there, so I know them a little bit. But, getting into the plains of Kansas or the city of South Florida, it's just we get guys from such a wide variety of places that you get to really see – pretty much you get to see it all. It's not nearly as interesting as it used to be back when you could be there on signing day. Those days when you could actually be there on signing day, I could tell you stories for days about that.
Now, when you go into the house, do some of these people invite you down at the table? You wind up at family dinners? They ask you to say grace, things like that?
Probably better than 50%. Better than 50% of the time that happens. Where that really gets tough is when you got two or three of them in an evening. Because you got to eat now. I mean, you sit down and no matter what it is, and most of the time it's really good food. There has been a couple of horror stories where I couldn't even choke anything down. But when you get two meals and then you got to go to another one and have a third meal, that gets a little bit difficult, gets uncomfortable. You got to unbutton the belt buckle and you got to kind of lean back and take a deep breath, but you got to make it work.
A couple more minutes with West Virginia head coach Dana Holgorsen here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. How are you feeling about the team on the field right now that you guys are going to put out there? I mean, where is an area that you want to see West Virginia football improve the most this upcoming season?
Well, clearly we got a lot of improving to do, based on the year that we had. But only lost a couple of seniors. Only a couple of seniors in this next class as well. So you looked at a two-year period where you just didn't have the numbers that you need to be successful in a great conference like the Big 12. We got that coming with our junior class, upwards of 25, 26 guys, of which most of them have been in the system for 3 and 4 years, and then that sophomore class with about 21, 22, 23 guys that have all been in the system for 2 to 3 years as well. So you just need to improve on depth. You got to be able to play every single week. You're going to deal with injuries. You're going to deal with guys getting tired and going down and having to put second-team guys in there, even third-team guys in there, to where the level of play cannot drop, because if it does drop, then you're going to get beat.
Dana, how much stock do you personally put in star rankings that people, that scouting services ascribe? Because you talked about Drayvon Henry, and he's somebody whose kind of bona fides are out there. He's a 4-star guy. But Jahleel Fields, some things I've seen him with a 2-star. I mean, is it something where your coaches and you go out and you say that player fits here regardless of what the services say? I mean, how much stock actually gets put into that?
Well, I put stock into the ones that are high, because those high ratings are there for a reason. I mean, clearly Drayvon Henry is worthy of the ranking that he has based on performance, based on tape. A couple other high-rated guys, Dante Thomas Williams, we got out of North Carolina, is we've seen him in action. William Kress, quarterback over at Baltimore Dunbar, we've seen him in action. They're worthy of what their accolades are coming out of high school. Once they get here, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you can just throw them all into a pot and you can just, you know, work with them and develop them. Some are going to adjust quicker than others. Some are going to develop into much better than what they were out of high school. I read something that you know, there's out of X number of blue chip athletes that came out of the state of Texas in the last decade, I think only half of them ended up being like full-time starters or something. So it's mostly about player development. You know, the high rankings are deserving, but once you get here, you got to develop and you got to continue to improve each and every year.
Tell us more, Dana, about this 4-star quarterback recruit you got out of Baltimore, William Crest.
3-year starter at Dunbar, got him, got a kid by the name of Tavon Austin out of there about 4 or 5 years ago. So that kind of got us in the door a little bit. Been recruiting him since the sophomore year. You know, he's athletic, 6'2", 220. He's got, broad shoulders. He's a bright-eyed kid, got a great smile. He's smart. Parents are educators. Loves West Virginia. Has been coming over here for quite some time, so I can't wait to get my hands on him and coach him up.
One guy who jumps off the page is a little guy, Lamar Parker, wide receiver out of Miami, 5'8", 170. What's his deal?
Tough kid. Ended up being a national championship at Booker T. Washington there in Miami. They played a bunch of good teams, and he was one of the better players on that team. So, you mentioned Tavon. He's got some of those qualities. I hate to compare anybody to Tavon, but he's a small kid that's tough. You know, he grew up in the underprivileged area in Miami and made the most of all his opportunities and went to practice each and every day and practiced hard and was one of the better teams on a national championship team.